I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. And we have lots to talk about today.
Yeah.
We basically, you saw it last night. I saw it 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Talking about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts, but like, I feel like my feeling throughout from like beginning to end to now was like, that was good.
Right.
But I don't have like super strong, like, oh my God, that was amazing. Or yeah. Like, feelings that I kind of anticipated having.
Yeah. All right, real quick. And this is actually gonna be a really short stats rundown because it came out technically 2 days ago. Yep. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. What month is it? May 6th, 2022. Directed by Sam Raimi, that's a really big deal. Mm-hmm. Single writing credit to Michael Waldron. Mm-hmm. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch as Strange, Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda, Chiwetel Ejiofor as Baron Mordo, Benedict Wong as Wong. And we just had to look this up, and it sounds like Sochi Gomez. Again, I still probably got the very long wrong, and I'm sorry. Rachel McAdams as Christine Palmer. And I'm gonna stop there.
You got so wrapped up in saying Sochi Gomez right that you forgot to say that her character is America Chavez.
Oh, yes, I did. It's a big deal. She's here.
She is here.
I sent her. Yes. Okay. I'm gonna end there.
Okay. Great. Yeah. I mean the stack. What?
We're recording this very early in the morning.
We never do this, but Lily has a train to catch.
Yep.
Yeah, the cast is exactly like what we thought it was going to be. I feel like for the most part, we didn't get a lot of surprises. I mean, we did get some surprises about halfway through the movie.
Yeah, this movie had like picked up pace.
Yeah, so, okay. Before I saw it, what I had seen was... the only thing that I saw before going into the movie was like a spoiler-free review by Jay Stoobs on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said, this is the most tonally different movie. It's the most action-packed from beginning to end. And she said the pacing was great and like, but she was very like complimentary towards it. And I was like, I think more than any other TikToker, like, her opinions, like, or I guess movie reviewer, like, her opinions for me are hit or miss. Like, how she felt about a movie and, like,
how you agree with
how
it.
I agree with it are hit or miss for me because I'm like, I don't know. So I went into it, like, knowing what she said, kind of excited. That's why I texted Lily before the movie and you didn't respond, so I didn't even just, I didn't say anything.
It
was like, if this turns out to be, like, actually a horror movie, do you want me to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can say now that, like, I didn't need to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about the tone of the movie.
But yeah, I had that in mind of her saying it was tonally different.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited to see that. And from the offset, I was disappointed. Last week we were talking about it. We were like, oh, what is this movie about? I don't understand. Yeah. I don't know what the movie is about.
The trailers
like,
didn't give us anything, any plot.
Any plot. We were just like, okay, what's going on? So what the movie is about is America Chavez is running away from some demon who's trying to harvest her powers. And we see her first with a version of Doctor Strange with like a ponytail. And is like disgusting looking.
Yeah, that's how we differentiate.
Looking.
Yeah.
Because I, like, ew.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, Benedict Cumberbatch is not an unattractive man, but not, like, a conventionally attractive man.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes putting him in, like, weirder stuff just doesn't help him.
Yeah, if he gets styled...
Weird.
Barely differently, totally different look and feel.
Which works for a movie where they have so many different versions of him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. And... The, like, movie opens on America Chavez and this other Doctor Strange fighting some monster in some dimension that we don't recognize, trying to get to this book. So we mm-hmm. assume the book is going to be important. And then partway through the fight, this Doctor Strange is like, oh, I'm sorry, America, we can't let this demon get to you, so I'm going to steal your powers and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Before the demon kills Strange, and America Chavez, like, ends up in our Doctor Strange's, which was confirmed 616, universe. Mm. The 616 mm-hmm. universe. And that's where our Doctor Strange gets involved, and basically they're just trying to protect America Chavez from this, like, demon, and then it's, like, immediately revealed that it's Wanda.
Right.
Wanda's the one sending people mm-hmm. after her.
Right.
And we knew that, like, Wanda was gonna be at least an anti-hero.
Yeah.
And no, probably she was the straight villain.
Yeah,
she was straight up villain in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited to see that because I wasn't sure where it was going with the trailers. Like, they were alluding to that, but we saw her, like, all, like, soft-faced and pretty and picking flowers and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was hit or miss. Like, we didn't know, like, how many versions of Wanda we were going to get. Like, it's the Multiverse of Madness, so we're probably going to get more than one Wanda, just like we were going to have more than one Strange. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the plot of the movie. That's the plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Strange and America are just running away from Wanda the entire time because no mm-hmm. one can beat her.
Yeah.
Because she is goated in this movie.
She is. And a large part of it is because she got a hold of the Darkhold.
I mean, I would say that she's goated without the Darkhold. The Darkhold is just what's driving these horrific goals of hers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, we all saw WandaVision. Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, I think that's, like, that's literally the basic plot of the movie. And, like, mm-hmm. it's very, if we're just going to talk about storytelling, I think it's, like, a very thinly held plot. And I didn't have a hard time following it. It was just like, okay, and?
Yeah, I do think that this movie only got by on the strength of its cast yeah. and the special effects.
And, like,
and the strength of the director.
Yes.
There's not a whole lot story-wise going on here. It's basic. You're in it. You can follow it. Sometimes that's more than enough.
Okay, what's most disappointing is I feel like Rachel McAdams was kind of just shoehorned in.
Mm.
Like, she wasn't necessary.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Like, she was just there
mm-hmm.
to be there so that, like, Steven could pine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of disappointed in that. Like, they were just, like, they were just trying to pass the Bechdel test, I think. And, like, they succeeded.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
Yeah. I think if we would have cared more about their relationship, that would have been more interesting. Because I don't know. I think their dynamic of, like, there is no universe where they are together and happy, you yeah. know? But there's, like, something very romantic about, like, he loves her in every universe kind of a thing. And if we'd cared about their relationship, that would have been more of a tragic romantic point. But once again, Stephen Strange was the least exciting part of his own movie.
Yeah,
he was there. I mean, he was fine.
Oh, yeah. Another TikToker that I follow, I can't remember if it's, like, Society Made the Joker or, like, something like, I think that's their handle. I'll try to remember to tag these people in show notes later. But they were like, this is going to be a Wanda movie with Strange in it. It's not going to be a Strange movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think yeah. like, we were talking about that too. Like, we were more excited for, like, Wanda in this movie than anything else. And, like, I felt bad for the Doctor Strange people who were excited to see Doctor Strange. But, like, for the most part, I think people are more excited to see Wanda.
Well, we've spent more time now with Wanda.
We've spent a lot more time
with Wanda. We've spent so much more time with Wanda. And we watched a phenomenal TV show about her emotional development, her emotional growth and trauma.
Which
we care way more about Wanda than we have ever spent time with Doctor Strange.
Which is why I think this movie does feel a little bit like a backslide for Wanda, and like just using the Darkhold as an excuse to like why she's gone evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think. So I sent you that Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness review yesterday from last night from Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they said, and I didn't completely agree with their characterization of Wanda, which was that, like, Wanda is emotional and can't control her powers. And I was like, I don't think that's true.
No, she's like, in full control the entire
time. Yeah, I think she's in full control of her powers. Like, she's very deliberately doing everything. Like, it's not that she's out of control and, like, that she's being overly emotional about it. It's that... but what I did agree is that she was ultimately reduced to her role as mother. And I do think it's unfair of Doctor Strange to say your children aren't real.
Yeah.
Because, like, they were real to her. Like, yeah, she created them, but she's a Nexus being and she can change and form reality. So, like...
I assume that's how she has the kids in any universe, right?
Yeah, like,
that's it's immaculate conception, right?
Basically. So I was just like, okay, like, they're real. They're real. Like, they were created from her grief in that moment, but they're real. And she did lose them, and she had them for a time, and then had to basically, like, unalive her children. So, And I very specifically said unalive there because murder feels too strong of a word.
Yeah, she did not kill her kids.
Like, she didn't kill her kids, but, like, I mean, if you watched WandaVision, you know. But, yeah, like, I think it was a disservice to her character to just reduce her down to her motherhood in that moment. I was like, I don't want to rule the world. I don't even want to destroy the world. I just want to find my children. Which, like, I think can be an honorable goal of, like, I just want my children, but it is marred with the fact that, like, you know, there are Wandas in those other universes. Like, what do we do? Like, she's not reckoning with the fact that that's a reality, that she's going to have to, like, kill herself if she merges into one of these other universes. And, like, no one is out there being like, hey, you should know that if you start living in another universe, you're going to destroy the universe. Because we can't, like, just live in other universes, which is something that we're told at some point in this movie by the Illuminati.
Right, yeah. I liked her villain turn. I thought it was, I don't know, camp? A lot of this movie is camp. Like, that is very director's choice. But I just kind of chalked up a lot of Wanda's behavior to Darkhold, which is a scapegoat, I think, of the movie. Again, that's just kind of plot. But I will say I cried every, like, her final scene when she, her final scene with the boys in the movie. And it was just, I don't know, you still feel for Wanda at every point because she just wants some happiness and she's never been able to get it. And then I just assumed the Darkhold just twisted those desires, you know?
I feel...
I mean, that is. That's not a deep read of the movie. That is what happened. That is
exactly what happens. I feel like I wasn't emotionally invested in the movie.
In the entire movie. Yeah.
Because I didn't cry. Like... And I'm not a crier anyway. Like, I... can count on one hand, especially the amount of times I've cried in a Marvel movie, and it was literally only Endgame and the Eternals. Like, I cried in Endgame when Tony died, and I cried in the Eternals when Fastos kissed his husband, because I was like, oh my god, like,
yeah.
Which you can listen to in both of those episodes, us talking about that. But I wasn't emotionally invested in this movie, and I think because I felt like there were no stakes. Like, Wanda was on a killing spree in this movie, but I didn't mm-hmm. think that anyone that we actually cared about was going to die. Like, all of the people who died were basically red shirts.
Yeah.
So, like, I just met them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I sort of care about them in that, like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And, like, the characters who died that, like, would get a pull, I only was emotional about it because I was like, oh, like, I know you from a different franchise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I don't want to talk about the Illuminati just yet.
Okay.
Because you had said something about Sam Raimi and how, like, a lot of that has, like, pulled why people like it. I will not say that I know Sam Raimi as a director very well. I know the Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. I know this. I've never seen Shaun of the Dead. And, like, he's done a...
He did Shaun of the Dead?
I think it was Shaun of the Dead. Evil Dead. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. I've never seen Evil Dead. I've never... Like, he does the horror, like, comedy genre.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's great. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I just don't think he was successful in Doctor Strange.
Oh, really?
Like,
I'm the exact opposite, dude.
Like, I think the horror elements were cool, but, like, it wasn't sustained. It was, like, half the time I felt like it was in a horror movie, and the other half of the time I thought I was just, like, in a Marvel movie, but even the horror scenes were tinged by Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise I have an original thought. Like, I was thinking this before I read that, that review from Vulture, where she said, like, she basically said, you either live long enough to become the hero, or, like, you die, whatever, you know, like, the Batman quote, but, like, changed up, and it, like, or you live long enough to become, churned out in the Marvel machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, her saying, like, Sam Raimi failed, basically.
Yikes.
Not, like, failed, but, like, it's, like, a pale perception of what it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Her biggest critique is that most Marvel movies are just, like, corporate decisions and not, like, actual films anymore, or...
I feel like they've been that way since Ultron.
Yeah,
dude.
It's been like that for a while, and I think that there have been movies that have, like, broken out through that. Like, Black Panther broke out through that. Shang-Chi broke out through that. I can't even think of anything either. I think it's just those two broke out from that. Like, No Way Home, probably. Like, No Way Home was, like, a mixture of both, but...
It was. Also, Shang-Chi was incredibly formulaic. That was a Marvel movie up and down.
It was a Marvel movie up and down. I don't know. It really popped up to one of my favorites. Like, it just doesn't... Yeah. It was a Marvel movie up and down, but I think it had its own voice. But we're not talking about that right now. And... I don't know. Like, I just think it was still shot the same, like, every other movie. It looked the same, like, every other Marvel movie. Like, the lighting was the same. Everything was the same. Like, they don't really play with, like, that artistic...
mm-hmm.
They don't, like, kind of give their directors, I think, true artistic creativity in playing.
Yeah, well, that's why the first director walked.
Yes. Yeah. Because they were like, we want to make a horror movie. And he probably was like, yeah, let's make a horror movie. But because Marvel attempts to make every single movie not relatable, but, like, accessible.
The same? The brand?
Not the brand. Like, they want to make every single movie accessible to every single person, which just ultimately mm-hmm. leads to a very bland story because you cannot make everyone happy. And, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think that it could have been so much more interesting if they just committed to the horror bit, that, like, Wanda was the scary monster that, and, like, I wish that they had committed to, like, I wish they didn't, kill the canary so early, like, and for us to reveal it. Yeah. so early that it was Wanda the entire time. Like, I wish they'd played more with, we trust you. And had that, like, third act reveal, actually it was me the entire time.
Right, yeah.
Because I think that would have been more compelling, because it would have, you know, played with both sides. We could have seen her doing, like, we could have seen, like, subtle indications of her doing, foreshadowing, basically. What I wanted was more foreshadowing, mm-hmm. of her doing magic around them to influence mm-hmm. the decisions that would have gotten her to America Chavez.
Right.
But instead, we just have her slip up and call her America, and Doctor Strange mm-hmm. is like, ooh, I didn't tell you her name. But yeah, like, I wish that they had done more to hype her up as, like, more of an intellectual villain as well as a scary villain, because I think those are the scariest villains. Like, she's really mm-hmm. smart, and right. she's playing the long game to get to America Chavez. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I don't even know what the ultimate, like, third act battle would have been that would have gotten her to stop. But, I mean, it still could have been America showing her, like, face-to-face how her children are scared of her when she acts like this. But I don't know. I could have... it could have been more. It could have been more, I think, as much as Wanda was goaded in this movie, and I love her and I support her and everything that she does, and, like, whatever next project she's in, I'm gonna, like, still also love and support her. Like, I know she killed people, but, like... And
she killed Professor X. That was my friend. That was my roommate's line. She was like, I'm with her until that point, and then I will be with her afterwards.
I don't even care. Like, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I support you.
Because that wasn't really Professor X.
I mean, like, it wasn't our Professor X. Like, it's not like we know him. Whatever. It's like, not even that big a deal. But yeah, like, I'm like, I got you. Like, I love you. You're the best. I love you. So as much as, like, I feel that way, I think that she was kind of a shell of herself. And that's ultimately the case with most of the women in this. It's like, why is Rachel McAdams there? She doesn't need to be there. Wanda could have been set up much better. Like, I think they were trying to parallel Strange and Wanda, but it didn't work for me. Like, I think that she, the second that she, okay, so the trailer line of her saying, you break the rules and you become the hero, I break the rules and I become the bad guy, how is that fair? Felt so hollow when I realized it was spoken at the beginning of the movie, and, like, it was about, like, her trying to murder a child, you know? Like, I was like, I think that line in particular, in the scenario they were talking about, felt like Wanda had lost the plot. Like, that she couldn't understand the nuance of what the differences were. You know, like, there is a difference between Strange giving Thanos the stone to give the world its only shot at making sure everybody survived it, and her going on a killing spree to find her children in an alternate universe. Like, there's a difference between the personal gain of it and not, and, like, almost the selfless act sort of situation. So I can't help but, like, be annoyed by that scene now, because it felt like, you know, Wanda had lost touch with reality. And I understand that the Darkhold does warp your things. Perspective, right? It warps your morals. It warps how you see the world. But I didn't think of it as, like, making someone delusional. I always kind of thought of the Darkhold as enabling your worst instincts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least that's how it felt like to me. Like, it was enabling her to be the bad guy. Like, she, it made that side look way more attractive than doing the right thing. Because the Wanda we know does the right thing.
Yeah. I just kind of saw it as, like, self-justification. That, like, she felt she was in the right, like, she wanted this so badly, the Darkhold just, like, justified it for her in its, yeah, in its twisted way.
Yeah, I guess, but, like, I don't know, it just, again, it felt delusional and it felt hollow,
mm-hmm,
because I think it could have been a really interesting parallel, because think about how many times that, like, that does happen in real life for women, that they do the exact same thing that a man does,
mm-hmm,
but they get called bossy, bitchy, like,
well, I mean, a witch. I mean, that felt very coded.
Exactly. Like,
the entire time throughout the movie.
Exactly. The difference between witches and sorcerers, like, witches are bad and
mm-hmm,
bad, and sorcerers are good and whatever. Like, I think that there could have been, like, a very interesting setup,
mm-hmm,
where Wanda's motivations were more selfless,
mm-hmm,
and mirrored the real life struggle of women trying to balance being, like, likable,
mm-hmm,
often in, like, a corporate setting, and or even in the public eye,
mm-hmm,
so balancing being likable and, like, getting shit done.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because the movie was written by a man, because the movie was directed by a man, they didn't understand how her motivations would be more nuanced than "I want my children back."
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I saw somewhere Sam Raimi didn't watch WandaVision.
Yeah.
He watched certain scenes from it that, like, you know, would have informed Wanda's, but there is something lost if you don't see the entire show.
Yeah, like, you can't just watch a few scenes here and there. Like, you have to watch the entire journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose out on so much of Wanda if you don't watch her entire journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, the fact that Vision was kind of a throwaway line.
Yeah.
Of, I put a hole in my, like, the love of my life's head,
mm-hmm,
and it meant nothing. And then, like, from then, like, was Vision not a part of all of these other universes?
That was something I was wondering.
Did she not care to get back to Vision as well? And, like, again, her story should not also be revolving around a man, but...
Right, but, like, the love, the family that she had.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a whole other point. Before we lose it, or too much, I really liked Sam Raimi's directing in this. Mm-hmm. I think it was very Marvel-esque, but I think he was the best director to kind of try and attempt to bridge that. I kind of wished it was a full-on horror movie.
Yeah.
The bits that they had, like, every jump scare got me, even though you saw it coming. When she crawled through the gong and just, like, those
effects. Samara crawl, the ring.
Yeah, that effect was done really well, and it was really creepy. I would have been absolutely terrified, but it was done good enough that I really wished it was a full-on horror movie.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately where my disappointment lies, is that they were trying to, like, do both.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but think, like, not that Jordan Peele would ever,
yeah,
but I couldn't help but think what this movie would have looked like directed by someone like Jordan Peele.
That makes sense. But the monster fights, the zombie strange at the end, like, all of the special effects and the monsters in the third act of the movie were very Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
And it was enjoyable. I liked seeing... There was a way about this movie that you understood its director the same way you understood Taika Waititi in Ragnarok. It just, stylistically, there was a special imprint on it that you could understand versus all the other Marvel movies.
I actually did forget that Raimi directed this. Like, really? I forgot. Like, I went into it just being like, okay. And I forgot until literally the moment the credits rolled and it was said directed by Sam Raimi. Which, like, I'm an idiot. Like, I knew it was directed by him, but, like, I just forgot. Like, I just, like, and I feel like the moment I should have realized it was directed by Sam Raimi is when we saw the pizza ball guy. Because he's in everything Sam Raimi does.
Oh, yeah. So, my roommate is a big Sam Raimi fan, because she likes horror movies, so she watches a lot more. So she was telling me a lot about his style choices in, I just said it, his zombie
Evil
movie.
Evil Dead.
I was gonna say Book of the Dead. I think that's another one. But Evil Dead is the big one. And then even just, like, that monster fight with the one-eyed octopus, that reminded me a lot of Spider-Man. The way that, like, it was scaling the building and, using the city around it just reminded me a lot of Spider-Man. So it's, yeah, this is not by far one of my favorite Marvel movies, and I doubt I'll ever see it again, but I enjoyed watching it in theaters, and I thought it was a really good departure from all of the cut and dried Marvel movies we've been getting.
Yeah. Like, it definitely was different, but I guess, like, I'm complaining for complaining's sake. Maybe it's because I feel no particular attachment to Doctor Strange, like, that I wasn't really, like, rooting for him or against him. I just was like, you're there. But, like, I just wish they had committed. Like, it wasn't different enough for me. I wish they committed, is all. And we all know, if you're a longtime listener to the podcast, that I don't care for Doctor Strange. Like, I hate him more than Lily. So, like, it is hard for me to be invested in a movie about him where he's mostly the only person on screen. Because I don't care. I wish the movie was about Wong.
I'm glad Wong survived it. You knew he would the entire time, but there was one point he gets thrown off a cliff, and I was like, you have to come up, you're in the next Shang-Chi movie, you better be climbing up that thing.
Oh, but that's the thing, is what I said before, is I felt there were no stakes. Like, when Wong got flung off that building, I was like, oh, he's alive. Or that cliff or whatever, I was like, oh, he's alive. Like, I don't believe that any character is dead until I see the body. I learned that lesson from The Walking Dead.
That's fair. I mean, we talked about this before, but with the snap, we knew everyone was coming back because everyone who died had a sequel.
Yeah.
Had an announced sequel.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the movie.
We didn't talk about the Illuminati.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna. That was my next transition. Oh, okay. I think that's it for, like, the plot of the movie. I think we can get into. We'll just go with misleading. The teases that ultimately were misleading, i.e. the Illuminati. And I will say, so one of my roommates is home for the weekend. She went to go see it with her family. And she said, how much are my parents going to get lost? And I said, honestly, if they've watched WandaVision, they're good to go.
Yeah.
And I will, the other thing I was talking about with my roommates before we watched the movie is just the sense of, like, homework that the MCU has felt like leading up to this movie.
Yeah.
Because everyone, the theories, you can go back and listen to our episode, the theories were everywhere. If you could think it, people were speculating about this movie because the multiverse opened up so many options. And we thought it would be What If. We thought it would be...
And What If had, like nothing everything. To do with it.
What If had nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever, which is good, honestly. And I, like, before the movie started, I was with my friend, and I was like, I feel like I'm about to take a final. Like, how much have I been paying attention? And one of my complaints about just kind of where we are in the MCU is, like, the only prerequisite to Doctor Strange 2 should be Doctor Strange 1. And honestly, that's optional. You don't have to see... All you have to do to watch Doctor Strange 2 is watch WandaVision. That's it.
Yeah, because they kind of explained every Doctor Strange character the second they showed up, because I was like, good thing, because I don't remember any of these people, and I would never have watched Doctor Strange again to watch this movie.
Yeah. But I was actually kind of relieved, I guess, and pleasantly surprised by how little this felt like work.
Yeah. Well, actually, so I saw it alone, but I was gonna briefly a friend of mine was like, oh, I can come with you, before she remembered it was Cinco de Mayo and was like, wait, I have plans with people, like, I can't. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But she had asked me, like, okay, like, what do I need to watch before I see it? And mm-hmm. I just stared at her and I said, you know what? I think that you should just get high and enjoy the effects. Like, mm-hmm. I just enjoy the show. Like, I, knowing this friend, I was like, I cannot begin to say, like, you need to mm-hmm. watch Doctor Strange and Infinity War and Endgame. And if you watch Infinity War and Endgame, you probably need to watch other things because, like, you, those are going to be confusing to you. Like, mm-hmm. and WandaVision. And it was, like, a week before, not barely a week before. Mm-hmm. I think we were talking on a Saturday and I was going to see it on Thursday. So I was like, there's absolutely no way that I mm-hmm. can give you a comprehensive list and that you're going to watch it all.
Right.
Because it's, I can't.
Because we were set up to believe that this was going to be all over the place. No, it really comes down to one thing.
It really, and I think that's ultimately where I think some of my disappointment comes from, is that they, like, built it mm-hmm. up as, like, this huge, multiversal event.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't. Like, I think they were just trying to follow up No Way Home, and you literally mm-hmm. cannot. You cannot.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to, and it just didn't work.
Well, I think it was the tease. I think it was Marvel trolling the fans again, yeah. because they introduced the idea with Stephen Strange of the multiverse, and, like, all of these past franchises and characters can come together because they did in Spider-Man. So now Doctor Strange's specific movie called Multiverse of Madness can introduce all of these things with already the biggest troll of the franchise, with Quicksilver in WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was manipulated on purpose. I think they wanted everyone to feel like this was a final.
That sets them up for failure.
Though. I think so,
like,
too.
I wish...
Because it didn't work.
I wish they hadn't teased the Illuminati at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have been such a cool scene to just kind of be just blind experience. To.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, when we got to that Earth where I was like, oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, like, we're gonna get the Illuminati. Like, I...
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we know it's Patrick Stewart. And as much mm-hmm. as Patrick Stewart, like, lied and was like, people make my voice all the time. Like, it's probably not me.
Right.
Like, it was him. Like, we knew it was him. Like,
right.
I
still wondered until he was on screen.
Because
I don't trust. But, like, who else would it have been?
I think I think I expected so many more cameos from so many mm-hmm. more other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And when we ultimately just got these four,
mm-hmm.
I was, like, a little disappointed. And it's not, mm-hmm. I don't think it's even my fault. I feel like Marvel set themselves up for that.
Yeah, they absolutely
did. With all
did.
Of these rumors and, like.
It was super calculated.
And James McAvoy was like, I'm not in this movie. I promise you, I'm not in this movie. But, like, everyone was like, we have
Are
seen
you
this
though?
Play out before. Mm-hmm. J'accuse, like.
Yeah.
So I didn't believe it either. And so we get the reveal. Stephen meets the Illuminati. We walk in, mm-hmm. we see Black Bolt, whose powers mm-hmm. are horrific.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I did not know that if he just, like, whispers, the sonic mm-hmm. waves of his voice will destroy whatever is in its path.
Yeah, that was not a merciful way to kill somebody.
And then we get Peggy Carter.
I love that Hayley Atwell will sign up to be Peggy at any given point in time. She'll do it.
I have gotten... I feel like in the last year or so, I have so many conflicted feelings about Peggy. And, like... I've also learned some pretty terrible things about Hayley Atwell.
What?
Yeah. So, apparently... We're gonna do it. We don't have a lot of time, but, like, we're gonna do it. So, apparently Hayley Atwell really was campaigning to play Sharon Carter. Because she was like, it would be such a beautiful, like, mirror moment. Like, oh. Sharon and... like, Steve are, like, meant to be together, blah, 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 blah. But then when Emily Van Camp got casted as Sharon Carter, she, like, sicked her fans on her.
Oh, yikes.
And was, like, started hating on Sharon, was like, ugh, it's, like, Peggy and Steve forever, Peggy and Steve forever, Peggy and Steve forever. Like, she switched her tune real fast when she realized, like, she wasn't gonna be the one playing her. And she kind of fueled a lot of the hate that got sent towards Emily Van Camp, which I think in turn is what made her role as Sharon diminish in the franchise, which is disappointing in hindsight. Like, I still think that the whole Sharon Carter thing is, like, weird. Considering, like, that's, like, you loved her aunt. Like, her great aunt. Like, that's weird. Find a different family, please. But, like, Sharon and Steve are the eternal romance in the comics. So, like, it makes sense that they were gonna have her and, like, she was gonna be a part of his life. So, like, that has, like, really turned me off of her... like, knowing
that's too bad.
And, like, I texted you this. It just feels really disrespectful to Sam to, like, constantly be shoving Captain Carter down our throat. Because we get Peggy Carter as Captain Carter. Like, she is, you know, with her little British shield. And I think, like... you know, Sam hasn't even had his first movie. We had Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and, like, it was called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, not Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and, like, it's just, like, it feels like they're not giving him his due as Captain America, especially after, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier aired, and then the Captain America account became, like, a Sam Wilson Captain America account, like, the official Captain America account, which is great. And then What If came out, and it was only, like, a few months, basically, and that account became a Captain Carter account. Just like Marvel is kind of really disrespecting Sam Wilson by constantly taking him out of the running. Like, what would have it killed? Who would it have killed to ask Anthony Mackie to do that?
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like that would have solidified him as a Captain America, because it's like, look. He's Captain America, not only in our universe, but in other universes as well.
Right.
Like, I just didn't think that was fair. And I didn't like it. So, shockingly, when Peggy gets torn in two by her own shield, I was like, okay. Like, I was fine. Like, I didn't care.
Okay. Well, that's the opposite of how I would have thought you reacted. For me, that whole fight scene was brutally violent. Probably the most hands-on violent we've seen in the MCU, but not brutally violent, PG-13 violent. Like, I had no problem watching because you don't see
like,
anything.
It was, like, comic-y. Like, it wasn't, like...
Yeah. But it was... There was a lot of shock value because you're watching this... this team of all-powered beings just get ripped apart. I think the first thing that sets it off is when Black Bolt dies.
Okay.
That was
horrific.
That was brutal.
My entire theater just, like, gasped.
That was the tone shift of when you know, like, oh, this is, we're not in Kansas anymore. That was awful.
Okay, so.
And I think the main thing about this fight scene is it literally killed off any crossover chances. Like, if we thought this Mr. Fantastic was going to show up, if we thought Charles Xavier was going to cross over, No. I mean, Wanda literally killed them.
These versions of them won't, but...
I think it's their way of saying that, like, no.
Maybe. I don't know.
The only thing we're ever going to get, I think, would be cameos when America Chavez shows up.
America Chavez was in this entire movie. I don't know what you mean.
Well, in the future. When she shows up in the future is the only way we're going to get cameos or mentions of other alternate versions.
Okay. Well, okay. So, actually, what was your theater's reaction when the Illuminati scene happened? Like, we see Black Bolt, whatever. We see Peggy, whatever. We see Maria Rambeau, like, ooh, yeah. But, like, whatever. But when John Krasinski came on walked screen, out when
my saw Mr. Fantastic.
It was very interesting. My theater wasn't very full, probably because it was, like, Cinco de Mayo and people were, like, out partying, like, social people. And yeah. It was, like, a very, like, polite, like, oh my god!
There was some gasps. There were some people who were like, what? I think that was me. I saw it with a lot of either dude bros or high school teenagers. So there were a lot of people. So, like, they said, Steven, you're going to go meet the Illuminati. And there was a lot of, what? Oh, it's time! Kind of a thing. There was more of an audible reaction as Wanda slowly killed them all.
Yeah. And then when, like, Xavier came up, it was, again, like, kind of polite. Like, yay! Like, we're supposed to clap now.
Yeah, we applause. Had a little bit of the, like, what? Like, people did clap and cheer, but then he started... There was no hold for applause in this movie. He started talking and everyone died down.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because they knew that they were introducing it there. I just thought it was so weird to see John Krasinski, and I was like...
That was really weird. I thought that was the casting announcement, and then he died, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, again, maybe he will be Mr. Fantastic somewhere else, but I don't know. I thought it was a funny, like, ha-ha, because we all were thinking he was going to show up in WandaVision.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was one of the big theories going around, was that, like, Reed Richards was going to pop up, and it was going to be John Krasinski.
Oh, I see.
So when Wanda attacked, I knew from the jump, I was like, oh, they're dying. Like, I didn't know when or how or, like, I was like, they dead. Like, I didn't...
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised by their deaths. Like, I don't even think that, like... I think the only death that had any, like, real shock value for me was Black Bolt. Mm-hmm. Because that was just brutal. Like, watching... I really did have a little bit of joy seeing Fantastic, like, Mr. Fantastic's powers of, like, the little, like, you know, the stretchiness. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who? I know that Reed Richards is one of the most brilliant minds in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
He is just a stretchy man.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't take him as seriously as being, like, the lead man trying to confront the most powerful being in the multiverse. So I was like, there's no way he survives that. Just from that alone, I was like, he can't fight her. Mm-hmm, so when he got, like, horrifically pulled apart, I was like, ooh, I expected that. I really thought that the only person who was capable of doing anything to her was Maria. And then when Black Bolt dies by her, they were like, one whisper from...
She takes away his mouth.
Yeah, one whisper from him and she would be gone. And she goes, what mouth?
Mm-hmm.
And then he internally screams. And it blows up his own head.
Yeah.
That was horrifying.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have been able to take that scene in a full-on horror movie. Because that would have been truly terrible.
And then... Like I said before, Peggy gets split in half with her own shield. And then Wanda eventually gets Maria on the ground. And she's under, like, a statue. And she pulls the statue down onto Maria, killing her. Which was disappointing. I was like, okay, like, that... I wish that if anyone were going to survive that scene, it would have been Maria. And then Charles dies. And that was some Nightmare on Elm Street shit.
Yeah, that was nuts. Because
Charles goes into Wanda's mind to try... Because Wanda is dream walking.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different universe. Wanda has no way to get to the universe other than projecting her mind into that universe's Wanda. Mm-hmm. So she does that. And Charles is trying to pull, like, that universe's Wanda out from under rubble. But in, mm-hmm. I thought it was very interesting. So, like, the in the mindscape was a very, like, blank white
mm-hmm.
space. And then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to call her OG Wanda, like, OG of that universe Wanda, was under mm-hmm. rubble. And it was very reminiscent right. of, like, her, you know, the accident.
Her
and,
home yeah, getting bombed.
In Sokovia.
Which is why I thought that was, like...
Our Wanda?
Our Wanda. Like, the good inside of her getting buried and suppressed yeah. by the Darkhold.
And so, Professor X is trying to pull her out. Like, maybe if mm-hmm. I pull you out from under the rubble, like, you'll have the power to, like, eject her from your mind situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then this, like, red mist creeps mm-hmm. up behind them. And Wanda's hands come out from the mist and snap mm-hmm. his neck in yeah. her mind. And mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. reflected reality. And yeah. that, I was yeah. like, oh, like, I did like the horror elements. Like, that was a cool horror element.
It was really good.
And I think that they could have just played with that even more. Like, when they were in... Kamar-Taj, and she got into that one sorcerer's mind and just goes, mm-hmm. like, yeah. that was cool. Like, I wish
that was really
they
good.
Had played more with that throughout the entire movie. Like, the horror movie doesn't stop just because the villain isn't on screen. And I think mm-hmm. that's what mm-hmm. was missing, was the tension of a horror movie mm-hmm. that builds mm-hmm. up, like, throughout any horror film that you're watching. Like, that's what makes horror so good, is having that, like,
mm-hmm.
feeling of tension and dread that, like, something is going to go wrong, like, so someone is going to die, like, a build-up to it.
Yeah,
I felt like there wasn't a ton of build-up outside of, like, really tiny moments like that, you know?
So I
really liked seeing John Krasinski. I thought it was so odd. Like, I was like, oh, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, it was very weird because I didn't know what this was. I didn't know if it was a casting announcement. I don't know if it was a fun cameo. He just... you can say this, like, Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's okay. Say it wrong. Cumberbatch.
Always looks like him. Like, he's a good actor, and, like, I do believe him when he is Doctor Strange and when he is Sherlock and stuff like that, you know? But something about when John Krasinski walked up, I was like, why are you here? I know you're Mr. Fantastic, but I can't stop focusing on the fact that I know it's
when
John Krasinski.
When he spoke, I don't know, there was something about, like, something in his voice that I was like, almost like I was like, he's not taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, he was casted for the bit. Like, I don't think that's going to be our Mr. Fantastic in the long run.
Yeah.
Because I think he was cast for the bit.
It seems like it. And he's also, you're right, he was playing it like that, too.
Yeah, so I think, like, that's ultimately how I feel about it. I think it was interesting, like, I left the theater, and I think that was the only thing I was thinking about. I was like, oh my god, like, John Krasinski was actually in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of made me laugh. I was like, I can't believe he was actually in the movie.
Yeah.
So it was just... funny. Like, I think that was my only true moment of shock.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire 2 hours. Yeah. And, like, woo, the ending is Doctor Strange telling America to believe in herself, and she does, and she shows Wanda her children being terrified of her, and that's Wanda's, like, coming to...
She's starting to realize. She sees herself. She sees what she's done.
And that's her moment of, I've done something terrible, the Darkhold has done something terrible to me,
mm-hmm.
and I have to stop this.
Yeah.
So,
can't get over how easy it was to get rid of those all-powerful books.
I know, just stab them.
Yeah.
And then they were gone.
Yeah.
Again, but like Wong says, they were a copy. So.
Mm-hmm.
So she uses like her powers to destroy the temple that they're in, which mm-hmm. is like the original copy of the Darkhold.
Mm-hmm.
And she's dead. But I don't believe she's dead because, again, like I said earlier, you do not believe a character is dead until you see the body.
Which is why the second post-credit scene was so surprising to me. But, I mean,
the
I'm
second
glad...
post-credit scene?
Yeah. The pizza man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of him just saying it's over?
Yeah. Okay. Again, rules of the Marvel Universe. The first post-credit scene is the toss to the franchise's next movie. The second post-credit scene is the toss to what's next in the MCU. I would have lost a lot of money. I thought the second post-credit scene was going to be White Vision flying around the rubble of the temple.
I
thought it would have been Vision. I thought we would have seen, like, her hand shoot up and then Vision's hand reaching down or something like that.
I think it was just Sam Raimi's way of being like, it's over. Get out of the movie.
Yes, it was.
Like,
but I thought we were getting an MCU post-credit scene.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Did not understand what you were trying to say there. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, no, it was just that. The first post-credit scene, the mid-credit, mm-hmm. was, like, actually a throw to, I think, another Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah,
because final trilogy. That character's name is Clea. That is his future wife.
Oh.
I know. I looked it up, because I was like, I was like, Charlize Theron.
Yeah. I thought it was Sif for some reason. I couldn't tell who it was. I couldn't tell what was happening.
They look very different, but okay.
I know they do, but I also don't remember the Thor movies. I couldn't figure out what was happening.
That's valid. Yeah, no, I saw her, I was like, Charlize Theron? And then I was like, was that actually Charlize Theron? Like, I couldn't, it didn't sit in my brain. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay, so Clea is Doctor Strange's future wife. That is Clea mm-hmm. Strange. Mm. So maybe the next movie is about him, like, falling in love and new chances and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to bring up something that I feel like deserves more conversation right at the end, but I want to say it once and then we can end. Something about the way the Darkhold was set up to me, as, like, a... hey, she's under the Darkhold, so it's okay, like, we forgive her. Reminds me of, like, people who blame their bad behavior on, like, a mental health illness.
Oh.
You know, I was like, they're using it as the excuse for their bad behavior.
They're kind of like, oh, they didn't know any better, it's not her fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And... like, that was something that I was thinking about. It was like, oh, it's almost like the Darkhold represents mental illness to me. And she is, like, it's almost a way of, like, to shift accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wanda still did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she did that. And that would be reason enough for people to not trust her. Like, she made the choice to use the Darkhold, which is not me saying people choose mental illness. But, like, she made the choice to use the Darkhold, which led to her killing a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
She saw what the Darkhold did to Agatha, and she still was like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Strange did the same thing later. Like, I mm-hmm. think that I can use the Darkhold and not be bothered by it, blah, 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 blah. And every action she had after that, it was still her doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as much as I don't want to hold Wanda accountable because she's perfect in every way, like, she still is accountable for her actions, even though she was using the Darkhold.
I think of the Darkhold more as, like, I mean, obviously, a weapon of mass destruction. Of, like, would Wanda have done those things without it? Because, like, again, it enables her.
Yeah.
It's, like, this dark entity, kind of, which is a very, like, mystical way of thinking about this magical item or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, Wanda should still be held accountable because she was in control. She knew what she was doing. She did have to, like, face reality after some point of what she's done. But I did see it more as, like, a weapon or a tool that she was just, like, channeling her grief through, her mourning through.
Yeah, and, but I'm... That is also true. And I'm not saying that, like, it's actually mental health illness or, like, mental illness or anything, but, like, I think it just parallels that very well of, like, you know, I've known people, I've had friends who have blamed how they've treated me on their mental illness to be like, oh, I'm sorry, not even saying, like, I'm sorry for how I treated you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, I'm depressed, what are you gonna do?
Right, yeah.
You know, like, I listen, I've been through it, I understand. I've treated people terribly when I'm, like, in a mood or whatever, but, like, it's not, you can't just blame it on the fact that you were in a really terrible, like, anxious moment. Like, my thing is anxiety. Like, I will get really anxious and, like, I snap at people because, like, my anxiety is, like, whatever you're doing right now, it's not helping. Like, I snap. Mm-hmm. And, like, I understand that, but, like, you can't just go, like, I'm sorry, I was anxious, what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm...
That's not me.
Like, yeah. You can't just, like... So, like, that is sort of the way that I've been seeing it of, like...
Mm-hmm.
How is this gonna go? Like, it was the Darkhold, not me. But, like, you used the Darkhold. You did that. Yeah. Like, you did that.
Yeah. I think it's also... That was part of the heartbreak of the scene of when our Wanda confronts the alternate twins and, like... She was like, I would never hurt you. Like, I love you. I'm your mom. And that is that kind of, like, one, they don't know that. That's not their mom.
Yeah.
Two, that's kind of holding her accountable for what she's done of when she was like, I would never hurt people. And then she has to kind of realize, like, oh, I have.
I'm not a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And her reckoning of her being a monster. I think, like, the fact that this movie was trying to focus on Wanda's journey... But because it wasn't Wanda's movie, they couldn't really give it justice, was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a failure on the movie's part, to just have that moment in that last, like, Deus Ex Machina kind of situation of, like, oh, not even Deus Ex Machina, like a come to Jesus moment, like, in the last 5 minutes and then be over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Is what it is. Yeah, if I'm putting this on a ranking, it's probably, like, lower third.
Yeah, this movie was fine. I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad it did not end up being everything it was touted to be. If this is a totally fine, passable Doctor Strange movie, it is not a whole new, like, turning point in the MCU. Yeah,
it was good. I love Wanda. I don't know that I'm gonna watch this ever again.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
And that's that on that. So, we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. And you can follow the podcast at EM Fangirls. And you can check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com. And you can email us at EMFangirls@gmail.com. I actually just did this little outro for all of my coworkers. And they were like, why don't you just record it and then add it in later? And I was like, no, we can't, because this happens. This little banter in between. anyway, email us at that email if you have thoughts on Doctor Strange as well. And we are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, all those places. If you like this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It would really help us out.
We also have to do it live every time because the two or three times a year we get it wrong.
Exactly. And also, I'm on TikTok as some fangirl.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.